The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse means more than 70 years of service and professionalism and great service to the community across the state of Florida. Ed Morse family-owned dealerships, and they are right here in the Tampa Bay area with Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You've heard us sing their praises here on the podcast, and we could not be more sincere. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Get to their website, edmorsecadillactampa.com. You can start shopping right now. And then, of course, the August offers are coming right down the line, and there's tremendous year-round opportunity at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Go to joebucksfan.com. You can find offers there as well. And our friends at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, they just finished a wonderful charitable promotion on Saturday. Very exciting at the dealership. They're right there on Causeway Boulevard. And at edmorsecadillacbrandon.com, head to their website as well. That's where you want to start your car shopping search. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We'll talk more about them later. And here's Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Happy Thursday. Ira Kaufman Podcast is here. We are just 1 week from preseason football, the preseason opener. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here from JoeBucksFan. And, of course, the man fresh off the treadmill. You got to tell us how it went, Ira. Mr. Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. How you doing, buddy?
Clean bill of health, Isbitz. For Javier out there wondering, you know, Ira hasn't weighed in on what happened with his stress test. I'll tell you what. I walk in, front door, and they say, Mr. Kaufman, you ready for your stress test? And I was ready. See, you know, you got to be ready for these occasions. I said, 86 the treadmill, young lady. I cover the Buccaneers. That's enough stress. I don't need the treadmill. She laughed, but they did lead me into the vac. Hey, it's a 2.5-hour procedure over there. They got to take pictures, blood pressure. They inject dye while you're on the treadmill, and they crank it up. DeKemper, you wouldn't last a minute and a half. I got you down for about 90 seconds on that treadmill. I lasted longer than last year, which they were happy with. And then they take the pictures before, they take the pictures after. Everything worked out. So I'm good for another 6 months. I'll have a consultation. Now, of course, last week when they called me, you know, this Ira Kaufman, yes, we're just calling to confirm your appointment next Tuesday, 9 a.m. I said, absolutely. Then she goes, don't have breakfast that morning, you know, come in and fast. Don't have any caffeine 12 hours beforehand. And
12
I said,
hours?
Yeah, 12 hours. So I didn't go off for my nightly coffee run the night before. And then I said, I got all that. I know the drill. Anything else? There was a long pause. And then she said, bring $772. Don't forget that. $772. Instead of arguing and, you know, kvetching about it, DeKemper, I reached into my pocket and coughed up the check. That's enough stress. I didn't need the treadmill after that, Lee. I'm supposed to have Obamacare. Well, what's going on here?
Now, did they do the nonsense with you that, you know, I haven't gone through that yet, but other procedures I've gone through. The first thing they say is, you can't take a cab or Uber. You have to have a designated driver.
They did say that, and my wife was you know, telling me the night before, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you in the morning. And you know what? When 7:45 rolled around and I left, I let her sleep. And then she ended up calling me later and she goes, I'm not talking to you anymore. After that stress test, you need a driver going home. I don't trust you. You know, she barely trusts me at 3:00 in the afternoon without a stress test. So she was mad that I didn't wake her up at 7 and get ready and then we go together. But I figured she needed her beauty sleep. And when I left, the dog was right on top of her.
Dante?
Right on top of her. And she looks so blissful sleeping at cutting Z's over there. So I left without waking her up. She was furious when she got up. And there's nobody in the house.
So you disobeyed orders. You drove anyway.
I'm my own man over there,
there
DeKemper.
You go.
I ain't a whip puppy. No whip puppy, Javier.
Well, speaking of puppy, well, how's Dante doing? I know he's going through hell.
Going through hell. He can't see. He's bunking into everything. Isbitz, you know, I clap my hands. I'm trying to get him to go a certain way. Now he can't coordinate between the sound and which way he's going. So when I take him out to pee, I got to make sure he don't fall in the pool. I mean, and he's on diapers. Steve, we got doggy diapers. Steve, now, you're smiling because you know that's going to happen to you in about 12 years. But But you know what, Lee? As long as he eats, as long as he's got that appetite, which he does, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be in pain. I'm okay with it. 14 and a half, Steve.
Ira, this is fascinating.
14 and a half.
This is all very fascinating. First, I'm only laughing just because it's a lot of fun to just hear you talk.
And we haven't even gotten to Vita Vea yet or Buck Camp yet.
We've got so much to talk about on the Buccaneers front. It's just fun to hear you talk, Ira, which is why your podcast is so popular. And it's the big reason why Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon continue to support all of your work on JoeBucksFan.com. Of course, now we're in August, Ira. All the new offers are flowing at EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, our great friends there. And I got a couple of questions for you, though, since we're getting personal here.
Is it about Dante? What kind of question?
I don't understand. I went for a stress test years ago. Nobody told me I couldn't drive, so does my doctor not like me or something?
I have a real stress test, not this little nonsense. Your stress test, the guy gives you a Sudoku puzzle, and if you can complete it, he checks you off and says, I'll see you in a year. I got to go through testing. I got the blood pressure, the weight, which I wasn't too thrilled with.
It takes 2.5 hours to take your blood pressure. I don't know. I'm all confused, but I know that yours is a more advanced test.
Well, each one, when they take the pictures of the heart, each one, and you do it twice, each one's a half an hour.
Really?
Because the machine goes from one spot to the next spot to the next spot, and it's very it's very comprehensive.
Very comprehensive, Ira. And the other thing I was going to say is, Ira, all you got to do is tell these doctors, I'd like a negotiated rate, please. Can you please ask the doctor?
You know, you're right.
And they drop the price, man.
You know, you're
That's
right.
That's how it works in America.
I don't know how to negotiate, Lee. I've got to bring his bits with me next year. I don't know how to negotiate.
Well, I always like to tell people I couldn't sell a furnace to an Eskimo.
My primary doctor, when I told him, because I went up there to see him the day before to get my blood test results, so I had them with me when I see the heart doctor, and the blood tests were good, too. So I told him the story. I go, the girl says, bring $772. He goes, give them a check for $300. They're going to be happy and walk out and say, bill me for the rest. And I don't do that, Steve. See, I don't follow orders very well.
You just got to ask. All right, next time you ask him. You know, it's just like buying. It's like going to a garage sale. You know,
what is my insurance, the Kemper?
Well, I've got Obamacare too. But what I can tell you is, when I did not have insurance, I do know if you told doctors you didn't have insurance, you got a cut rate like you wouldn't believe. I mean, like $25, $30 for a doctor visit, where otherwise they bill the insurance.
You mean because I'm being paid by Joe Bucks, man, I'm getting screwed by the medical profession. That's what you're telling me.
You just got to ask, Ira. I you wouldn't believe the things I've done.
Next year, I could be on Medicare. That's a whole new ball game.
Congratulations, Ira.
Thank you. That's a whole new ball game. Baby. I'm happy about that, but it also means that I'm in my 41st year of covering pro football.
There you go. All right, Ira. Look, it's fantastic to see you. Glad you're in good health. I know you were a little nervous about that, but now you can go have a bacon cheeseburger and celebrate.
Back on the tennis court, singles, doubles, whatever you want.
And I still
thought you gave up singles.
I did, but in October I'll be back.
Okay.
And this year I get my long-awaited 3-year rematch. This year it's coming. This year it's coming.
And Ira smoked his bits.
Are we going to have any video of that, Steve? Is Lee going
to
be there?
We'll have to get some video. Right. We'll have to get some video.
Now, what's going on in Buck Camp, Steve? What's going on?
All right, Ira. Look, a couple of interesting things going on. We'll start with some of the news of the day. There were a couple of pieces of news. You know, we're recording this on Wednesday at 1 buck in the bugged room that they usually place us in. So after practice, very simply, Ira went up to Brenson Buckner. You know, I patrol practice and I said to him, look, coach, I'm not seeing any 3-4, man.
Where's the 3-man
line? Where's the
3-4?
And he simply said, I got 4 dogs, and they're going to – why would I not let them out? You're not going to see it. And we talked a little bit more.
That's the second best line of the year, Lee, behind Bunkin's We Chose to Suck. I mean, it's a close number two. It's a beautiful line.
Simply stated, forgetting about the rest of the conversation, Buckner said it's not coming. You know, not as of now. So – what do you make of that? You know, there was a lot of experimentation by Mike Smith, same coordinator last year with the 3-4, and they used it a lot, partially because they were so down on defensive linemen in a lot of ways. Kendall Beckwith rushing and all these guys with his hand in the dirt. Now what? What do you make of that?
Lee, to me, what it says is there's a recognition inside this building, especially within the coaching staff as a group, that the D-line is now the strength of this team. Now, you could argue...
Is now or not?
Is now okay. The strength of the team. I think a close second would be receivers slash tight ends. I mean, it's close.
Yeah.
Brenson Buckner loves what he has to work with here in Tampa. We heard Vinnie Curry, I was standing right next to him the other day, when he said, we got just as much, if not more, talent on this defensive line as we had in Philly, and they're raising the Vince Lombardi trophy. in large part because of the rotation and depth of the defensive line. So, you know, rather than Buck fans wringing their hands, oh, we have no innovation, we have no imagination, where's the 3-4, let's mix it in. No, no. You got eight guys. I wouldn't say they're all eight studs, but you got eight guys. And, you know, if Will Golston's your number eight guy, you know, he's not bad as a number eight guy. You don't want him as your number three guy. You understand that? Here's my perfect example. Vita Vea goes down. Lee, Vita Vea goes down. Now, if the Bucs hadn't overhauled their defensive front, but had drafted Vea with the 12th pick, and he goes down, people are going crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They're going crazy. Here we go again. We got no depth. Who's going to play next to McCoy? It's not like that now. It's not like next man up. Vea'll be back. Next man up, you know, whether it's Unrein or Allen or Curry or whatever, there's flexibility. I wrote that column the other day, Lee. You saw it with Mike Smith. Flexibility, flexibility. He loves that. They feel they got a lot of good players up front, so why take one of them off the field and add a linebacker when the strength of this team is the D-line? Lee, are they wrong?
No, what I will say is I'm not ready to anoint these guys as the, you know, NFL's best defensive line. Good, sure.
On paper.
Oh, very much so on paper. I wrote this a couple of days ago on JoeBucksFan.com. Might have been Tuesday I wrote it. The wide receivers / tight ends. I mean, Adam Humphries could be starting for a lot of teams. He's number three guy. Godwin could be starting for a lot of teams. Brate and O.J. Howard are Pro Bowl level talents. I think Brate got hosed out of a Pro Bowl a couple years ago. Obviously, DeSean Jackson is talented. Obviously, Mike Evans has been to a Pro Bowl.
By the way, Cutter said today, Lee, you weren't there. You were talking to a player. Mm-hmm. I was standing next to Cutter. He said O.J. Howard made five tremendous plays in practice. He says he's way ahead of where he was last year.
I agree.
And he caught six touchdown passes as a rookie in limited action.
Yeah, I agree. He is way ahead of last year. What I find interesting about the defensive line, and not going 3-4, sticking to four front defensive linemen, last year, they did run some 3-4. Not a lot, but some. And Gerald McCoy was asked to go outside. Like a good soldier, he did do that. He was not happy about it. Not happy at all. He bristled. But now, look, he's got borrow your pencil. So
you
write
go.
Something down
writing
so he can come
it
after
down,
you.
Writing it down.
So,
wait,
but,
quick pause there for the people who wasn't listening. I'm looking for my pencil to write my
and
notes.
I've got it.
And Ira's holding it, and I'm trying to get it
I'm
from
using
him.
It as a prop over there, Lee.
Go ahead. Continue.
Like David Letterman using the pencil as a prop. Coy bristled about playing a 3-4, playing outside.
But he did it.
But he did it like a good soldier. Now, this year, when they talked about how, and we've seen it in practice, JPP has been inside, how they're cross-training all these guys, McCoy welcomed them and rejoiced about it. Like, hey, I'm going to play some outside sometimes. Like, I don't know if it's because he trusts Buckner that much, or they basically said, hey, you either got to do it this way and like it, or there's going to be a hell of a turnover and nobody's safe next year. I just thought this the attitude adjustment of McCoy's was interesting. Just with that.
Absolutely.
So, again, I don't know if that's Buckner. I don't know if Vinny Curry got to him. Another thing about the defensive line. Now, I didn't see this with my own eyes, but I read, was it Carmen, who works for Buccaneers.com, and Scott Smith, who also works for Buccaneers.com? They saw in one-on-one drills on the far end of the field, they were there watching one-on-one offensive line, defensive line drills. Apparently, JPP, one snap, destroyed Dotson. Just absolutely just blew past him, like Dotson was standing still. And
if I'm on the mend from a knee injury, the last guy I want to see across from me is Jason Pierre-Paul. Poor Dot. You know, he's still rehabbing.
Well, the cool thing I'm going to mention, I think this is cool. This relates to all the defensive line, Curry, Bo Allen. Apparently, Scott Smith and Carmen said that JPP took Dotson aside. Dotson, an old veteran. He's been around the block a few times. And was basically telling him, this is how I got past you. This is how I juked you.
And he's
you.
The longest tenured Buck. Lee.
Yes. And I've been hearing people talking about Vinny Curry's doing that with McCoy. And matter of fact, Vinny Curry has said he has seen McCoy really looking at JPP and really looking at him being Curry, what he's doing. Like McCoy knows, well, these guys got rings. These guys are studs for a reason. And there's something about these new guys, and Cutter's referenced it already, that's really rubbing off on our teammates.
You know, Steve, this franchise, for good or bad, has been a four-man front for like almost 25 years.
And not an effective one in the last
25 10. Years. Now, Steve, I'll say this. If they hadn't overhauled the front with five new pieces, if they hadn't, I think you very well could have seen 3-4 being used extensively this year because you'd say, you know, we don't have a lot of defensive linemen. We don't have it. That's not the case this year. It's not the case, and everything's changed up front.
Tuesday, I was out there for all the one-on-one offensive, defensive lineman stuff, and it really looked like Dotson, even though he was in those one-on-one drills, it really looked like he was like 80%. And the first time JPP did, this is 2 days ago now, Tuesday, just exploded past him, and then the next time, and they were chatting a little bit at that time. It was hard to tell if they were just, you know, yucking it up. But Dotson doesn't look 100% yet, or he's not going 100% yet.
Or he's not going 100%.
So that's always a mystery. On McCoy outside, last year, I think it was mid-season when he sort of bellyached about that.
November, yeah.
Yeah. My gut, not a Swaggy Baker joke, my gut tells me that part of that was McCoy realized, well, if I'm outside, who are they putting inside? Stick Swaggy in there, and I think he was as much down on himself going outside as he was with the options that they had inside, that their biggest, meatiest guy for that nose position, it was Baker who was just giving it up. So I don't know. Maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
And maybe he'd feel differently this year if they ask him on occasion to move to the end spot. He'd say, hey, we got Allen, we got Vea, got Unruh.
Yeah, well, like Lee said, he's just being a good soldier and liking it this year. Trust Buckner. But I thought that was just an element of last year that might have been there. You know,
what about Buckner's candor, Steve? What about Buckner's candor?
Well, Buckner's candor is great.
I mean, you could talk to him every day of the week, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, the Buccaneers have not really made him available, you know, to us on a regular basis. They haven't, you know, had him under lock and key. Obviously, I talked to him today, but you know how it goes when they have a candid coach and assistant. That's not somebody they want, doing.
And it helps when the guy's a former player, Lee, because, you know, all of a sudden they're a little more, they don't have as much of a filter.
Curry specifically told me that. And here's something else Curry told me. You being Mr. Hall of Fame voter for the Tampa Bay area, the lone voter, senior committee member, I might add, Vinnie Curry was adamant to me that when Buckner played, and this is Vinnie Curry's words, not mine, no player in NFL history had a quicker get-off.
Wow.
Now, I always thought McCoy had a quick get-off, and I told him, quicker than McCoy? Or I asked him, I said, quicker than McCoy? He goes, yes, look at the film. I said, now, Sapp even brags that McCoy was quicker than he was. And Curry said, well, just go look at the film.
Well, Buckner was he was right in the middle of a really good defensive line in Carolina, Steve. They thought they were better than the Bucs, and the Bucs had Simeon and Sapp at the time.
Yeah, Buckner is an interesting guy. I've did a lot of research on him in the offseason. If you Google him, you'll see that he had at one point a national television commercial, and he was known for this extreme get-off. It was something that he worked on. How it compared to the modern-day guys, who knows? Vinnie Curry, obviously, I don't know if you can time that on film, but it's... he was known for that, and he probably, honestly, he probably respects McCoy even more for it because McCoy has that get-off, which watching some of these pass rush drills, Ryan Jensen, he's just not there yet, but it could just be the little nagging injury, whatever he had. He's not showing it yet.
You know, that's the funny part of this whole thing, Lee. You know, we talked to Cutter as a head coach, and other guys have said that when they're head coaches. At this time of year, Lee, you know, one unit is getting the better of the other unit. Well, you're all geeked up about that, and then you start thinking about the other side, like, the other side's getting beaten up. I'm worried about
him. Yeah.
I mean, that's strange things go through a head coach's head. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a position coach. You're a position coach. Hey, my linebackers are kicking butt today. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, if you're the head coach, you're saying, where's the blocking? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to think of it that way.
Well, it was interesting. Cutter, and he referenced this again today. He wasn't saying this in a condescending way. He was saying it like in a fatherly advice. It's like, don't get too wrapped up in who's playing with what string. He said there's a lot of rotation going on. And he said it's always going to change a little bit because guys sitting out of practice, guys being dinged up, whatever. He was just telling all the reporters that were there, and he's like, you know, don't get wrapped up into that quite yet.
Well, Steve, this is the time of year when you use different combinations and you see who plays well with who. You know, you don't do it in October. You do it right now.
No, this is it right here. One thing I wanted to mention, which I think is great, and it ties to what's coming this weekend. This week, we're in the midst of a five-day stretch of practice.
The only one.
That's five right. In a row. And that culminates on Saturday with the training camp takeover, with the team in full pads, with thousands of fans here. And, of course, come on out. All the details are at joebucksfan.com. By now, you probably know all about it, but, you know, check it out on Joe Bucks Fan. Don't hesitate to come, even if you don't have a ticket. It's going to be insane. And that sets up, though, Ira, you know how it goes. You've seen this for, you know, 67 years at football fields. By 5 days in a row of practice, after 2 weeks of training camp, these guys want to beat the crap out of each other.
Knowing they got a day off the next day.
And they're worn out, and they got a day off the next day. And I think we're primed. We had a fight on Sunday. Best I can tell, I was the only one who saw
it. Yeah, you're the only witness to this fight over here.
Yeah, right? It's all getting reported now after the fact. But the Beninock, Mitch Unrein dust up, where Unrein threw the first punch. And then Beninock responded, of course. I don't know why anybody punches anyone in the face with a helmet on. I don't understand. Why do you do that with
it's
a helmet
It's like sliding
on?
In the first when you're a batter.
Well, sometimes the hockey players do it, too, before they get the
goalies
guys,
get into
before
it
they get the guy's helmet off. They're hitting plastic
it's
over
a stupid. It's stupid. But, yeah, it was a nice melee, good quality melee, and a lot of fun there.
And Cutter doesn't want to talk about it.
Cutter kicked both guys out of practice. I guess Cutter has a no-swinging rule. You can't swing, but...
No swinging rule.
My
you have to have the opposite rule. Go ahead.
My guess, Ira, is that Saturday the fans are going to see a team that is that might be very, very feisty, letting it all hang out and a lot of tempers flaring.
Especially when they go indoors, Steve, with the noise factor. Lee, you said it's going to be a circus. In a good way, though.
Yeah, a good circus.
Who's going to be leading the charge out there? The commish. The commish's going to be walking up and down the aisles, riling up these people. It's going to be a scene. I hope there's a lot of video out there on Saturday.
If you want to get a sense of the energy, there's a ton of video from last year on Twitter, at commish online. A lot of great video. Of course, Justin's podcast, Monday and Wednesday on joebucksfan.com. You can get the hype going. A lot of great fan calls and takes in there.
I hear the commission's going to get out there before the sun even rises over there, Steve.
They'll be out there between 6 and 6:30 on the earlier side. Sun's up about 6:30, and like last year, craziness. And Ira, now we're going to get a update on the Bourbon Street Takeover from fanretreat.com. All right, that Bourbon Street Takeover is for real. You want to go to fanretreat.com. It is a 48-hour getaway to opening day in New Orleans. Wow, you fly out there Saturday morning. You can, of course, go earlier or come back later, but there's a great package set up. Go out Saturday. We've got an event Saturday night, free. Ira's going to speak. Justin Pulaski, head of the Stick Carriers. Lee from Joe Bucks Fan. A big pep rally, bash, fun time, Bucks intensive the night before, and then we hit the streets to a party in New Orleans. The next day is the game. You can get all your tickets at fanretreat.com. We have a group hotel with a discount. There's going to be transportation to and from the hotel, and you can fly back Sunday night after the game. This is the road trip of the season from our friends at fanretreat.com. Fanretreat.com. Go there. Click on Popular Retreats. You can sign in. You can click Join the Retreat. You can click Interested in the Retreat. You can see who else is going, but many more are going who aren't even going through Fan Retreat just because they haven't done that process yet. So this is going to be huge. It is huge, and it's at fanretreat.com. Get there today. Check it out if you're thinking about it. It's way less expensive than you probably think, really. Game tickets in New Orleans are not that expensive, even though they're sold out, and Fan Retreat's also going to be rolling out anyone who signs into the retreat some great discount offers, so you can get your flights now, your hotel now, and get your tickets later. fanretreat.com, that's your home for all event tickets, all hotel flights, anywhere. It's like SeatGeek meets Expedia.com, and you can just a one-stop shop and really do some cool stuff. fanretreat.com, Bourbon Street Takeover. It's going to be wild. So fired up for that, Ira. It is going to be a lot of fun. Now, Sage, Listen, you broke the news. It went national. You tapped your high-ranking, top-secret sources. And
double-secret probation, that's right.
Double-secret probation there. People felt sorry for you because you went for your stress test. They throw you a scoop. And you reported that Jason Light is under contract, in fact, for 2019 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A lot of people thought this was a contract year for him. Now we know it's not. And what do you make of that? And does that really even matter?
I think it matters in this respect. It doesn't guarantee that Jason Light is going to be the general manager of the Bucs in 2019. Lee, if things go sideways, you know, and they go 4-12, and, you know, the guy's already 22-42, that's a problem for Jason Light, especially if there's a coaching change. But it is significant in this respect, Lee. It's a tangible sign, and it's reinforcing what I got from the Glazers in Atlanta in May. But it's a yet another tangible sign that they believe there's a very solid nucleus of young talent on this roster. as opposed to what was here when Jason Light came aboard in 2014. They think he's done a nice job. Now, he swung and missed. You know, it's going to happen. You got five drafts. You got, you know, all these free agent classes. He swung and missed, Aguayo being a notable example. The free agency his first year, 2014, didn't go well. Lovie was a factor in some of that. But, Lee, I think it goes back, and they always talk about this. They never stop talking about it, you know. Second contracts. That was a big part of the success of this team. From, you know, when they bought it from the mid-90s on, you know, through the Super Bowl team in 02. Then there was a long gap when that wasn't the case. They didn't have young guys that were good enough to be re-signed by the Bucks. So when you have that kind of continuity in the Glazer mind, that means, you know, you're on the right track. You're drafting well. And they believe that Jason Light has drafted well. And that is the main reason Jason Light has himself a new contract.
And I think the inference here is, Dirk, it's on you. I think that's the untold signal here that the Glazers are seeing. We like the talent on this team. We should not be 5-11. That's what that's telling me. And I know you always come up to me, Ira, and you always say, man, Dirk just seems to be on edge. And I'm like, I would be too. Because, you know, like I said, all the signs are there that if they don't win, heads will be rolling come January. You know, they got talent. But what I mean by that is I'd be on edge too if I lost my starting quarterback for the first three games, which just happens to be the strongest strength of schedule to open a season in a Super Bowl era. Then, you know, you're looking at the Glazer family. They have itchy trigger fingers when it comes to head coaches. They've never retained a coach they've hired for who lost two seasons in a row, except for one, and he won a Super Bowl for them. Cutter doesn't have that resume. Light went out and loaded up on defensive line, which was terrible. They arguably have the best passing weapons in the league, certainly the deepest, and so they're really, you know, and then you look at that division, I'd be stressed out if I was Cutter too.
Steve, this is not to suggest that there aren't some real questions in terms of the starting lineup, the right side of the offensive line. Steve's got to be figured out. In the secondary, they don't have a lot of proven players. Grimes is the veteran commodity back there, if you want to count Conte as a proven veteran. But, Steve, they got more depth, and I asked Mike Smith about it today. I asked Cutter about it. They can't deny it, Steve. Injuries are going to happen. The thing you got to stop, Steve, the thing you got to prevent is the big drop-off when you lose a starter. You can't have the big drop-off. And, of course, the guy's starting for a reason. He gives you the best option to win. But when you got to go to the number two guy, you know, he's got to help you too.
I'll give you a perfect example.
And Steve, I think the roster as constituted right now, when they cut to 53, they have more depth to be able to afford injuries. And I bring up that Vita Vea thing. Buck fans would be going crazy right now. Hey, we don't have Vea. What are we going to do in the middle? And it's not like that.
You know what?
It's not like that.
The Vita Vea injury is interesting. The reaction is interesting. Not so much from the fans, but Cutter just seems to be, it's almost a shrug of the shoulders.
Yes.
You know, nobody wants to see a guy get hurt, but you don't see them even remotely panicking. And to what you said earlier, I want to expand this point. You talked about you don't want to see that drop off from first to second string. I remember a couple of years ago, specifically that Raiders debacle, a game that essentially cost the Bucks a playoff berth. When McCoy got hurt midway early in the third quarter and had to get taken off the field, he was in rotation to begin with, but he got hurt, dinged up a little bit. When he came off the field, the Raiders absolutely gashed the Bucks up the middle. I mean gashed, like 6-7 yard carries at a pop when McCoy was out. When they put him back in, that didn't happen. And that's a perfect example right there. You know, they don't have to rely on kneeling Akeem Spence anymore. They've got Unrein, or they got Bo Allen, or they've got Golson could plug in there in the middle of the pack. So it's not dire.
You could even say Fitzpatrick is a quality.
Sage.
All right, let's hear it,
Look,
Steve.
You wonder why he borrowed that pencil.
Let's hear it, Steve.
Count me in the camp that's depressed by the Vea injury. Sorry, count me among those people. I don't see Will Golston playing inside. And if he did, why didn't he do it last year when they were
Who mentioned Will Golston?
Oh, Lee just mentioned Will Golston. playing inside.
Better than outside.
Mitch Unrein? We're going to celebrate this guy now? I mean, are we going to pretend that he, you know, if he was in a free agent somewhere else, we'd say, oh, well, nobody wanted the guy.
So he's your number three defensive tackle until Vea comes back.
I understand. Bo Allen's just a rotational dude out there.
What do you mean just? He's a good player.
He's a good player. You know what? I'm not somebody who's brushing off the Vea injury. He's arguably, let's just say he's the third most talented defensive lineman on this team behind McCoy and JPP.
What about Spence? Unproven.
Unproven. Okay. I hope Vea gets healthy. That's
now, I'll say this, Lee. You know, I don't want to bring this down to a personal level, but I have hurt my calf. I've had calf strains. And I'll say this, Steve. You can't run on it. You can't run on it until it's healed.
Not a smooth doubles game?
It's almost like a tear. It's almost like a tear. You got to wait your 3-4 weeks. You got to do it. And I don't weigh 350, even though my heart doctor ain't too happy with my weight. I'm not 350.
Well, that's sort of what Steve was telling me earlier, that you combine cart with the leg injury with the person we're talking about. That's a game.
But
that's
Steve, he's going to be back. He's going to be back.
I get it, Ira. But he needs the reps. He needs the experience.
He couldn't miss the preseason.
And we want him out there day one. So I'm not just shrugging it off that, I'm not going to. Look, if we were facing in week one Bo Allen and Mitch Unrein, I'd feel good about that as an offense.
Well, you got McCoy, too.
Yeah, I understand. I understand, Sage. Something important that you said, though, I think, is when you were talking about light, that's how we got on this, is in the Glazer mind. In the Glazer mind is your quote.
Isn't that all that matters?
And I think that's really all that matters when it comes to light. So if they like the drafting and, you know, now light has a contract for next year, you know what? Even if it doesn't go that well, let's just say, throw it out there, they go 7-9 and they blow up the coaching staff because we believe the Glazers are confident in this team.
But
and
they start re-signing the class of 2015.
Well, it lights under contract. It does set them up for a situation where if they want to make some changes, maybe they keep them and go the football czar route like the Jaguars did. They kept Dave Caldwell over there and brought in Coughlin to oversee, and maybe, hey, you know, we want to bring in somebody who'll work with Jason. You know, so with him being under contract, in the Glazer mind, as you said, if they like what he's done with the draft, you don't just throw away somebody who's drafting you really respect in the NFL, and so that could create a different kind of interesting scenario.
You just reminded me of something, Steve. A couple podcasts ago, I wouldn't say you railed, but you were aghast at the thought of bringing back a general manager who has the same record as Mark Domenic. That irked you. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute here. Les Snead's got a losing record. No one's suggesting Les Snead should be bounced. Dave Caldwell, awful record. He seems to be secure.
Well, I'll say this, Steve. If they go 6-10 and you like the job that Light's done over a 5-year period, and now the guy is 28-52, which would be the same record as Domenic, by the way. Exactly. Steve, you know what that says? Your coaching's terrible. The coaching's been absolutely horrible.
I think that's what the Glazers are hinting at.
That's what you're saying.
That's a funny hypothetical.
Isn't that a funny way to look at it?
Because it's a funny hypothetical because you could say if you like the way the guy has handled the roster and you're 22 and what's the
28-52.
28-52, then maybe you don't know what you're looking at. You know, so you could look at it
that
way,
too. Well, they're not going to think that.
Right.
You know.
But yeah, in the Glazer mind, that could be the scenario. And one thing I was listening to on Sirius XM NFL radio, it was a topic the other day. I forget who was talking about it.
Don't you ever sleep?
Come on, I sleep when I'm dead. or it was a couple of shows. It went through a couple of shows that general managers are typically graded on a 3-year rolling assessment of their drafts, meaning your draft in 2014 and 2015 is already off the table. As a current, if you're a current general manager in a season, the owners are looking at what does your 16, 17, and 18 drafts look like.
Well, 16 ain't nothing to write home
about. Right, but talked about it. That's a common thing is that ownership, okay, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, that's another lifetime.
What have you done for
What's
me lately?
What's the 3-year window of drafts, the current rookies, the last two classes? So that creates an interesting way to look at it.
Beninak could help light in that regard where right now, 2016 draft doesn't look too good. I mean, let's be honest. Doesn't look too good.
No, well,
Hargraves, Aguayo, doesn't look too good.
Yeah, and Spence, you can't believe. I can't harp on a guy getting hurt.
If Beninak wins the job and does adequately, that's a good pick. That's a good pick where they got him. Mm-hmm. Nobody's closing the book on Vernon Hargreaves. At the least, he's supposed to be a nickel. At the least.
Well, you're right, but you don't draft a guy 11th overall.
I know, Lee. I know you've been very strong on that.
So it's just another way to look at the draft, Sage. One thing I did talk to Vernon Hargreaves today, asked him a little bit about, you know, the mental challenge of if he does play two snaps outside and then shift inside, you know, that's two jobs on one series. Still a young player.
And he's not a veteran like Rondé Barber.
Right. Yeah. And he said that that's really not an issue for him now. That was a challenge in the beginning. They asked him to do that as a rookie. Most people don't remember. He was the nickel, came out as the nickel on opening day as a rookie. Alteron Verner got his one start of the season outside, and that lasted one day. And then Hargreaves was all outside. So they did train him like that, but he said now he really understands the defense. It's not a big deal, but everything for him now is mental because it sort of seemed a lot of maturity. He was saying that the NFL for him is just all mental. It's not about physical for him. He's the same physical guy, whatever. It's just about maturing.
You know, one of the things mentally. Buck fans, Lee, one of the things, and rightfully so, one of the things that the Buck fans are going to look at very, very closely, starting in week one in New Orleans, is how many freaking yards back is Vernon Hargreaves lining up? Oh, and here's why I say that. He looks like a guy that Mike Smith feels needs a cushion. That's the way it seems. Where a guy like Carlton Davis, I think, was drafted in part because he likes to play head up, very physical, and mess with the guys right at the line of scrimmage. So now, Lee, with a team that now supposedly has an enhanced pass rush that can move a quarterback off his spot, I don't want to see Hargreaves 12 yards back. I don't want to see it.
You and
because everything supposedly changes with this pass rush. Now, if you don't get a pass rush, ain't nobody going to be looking at Hargreaves. They're going to be looking at Mike Smith and Buckner and Cutter. So let's put it like that and let's be honest about it. But if the pass rush is there, you got to be more aggressive. You absolutely have to be more aggressive, and that's one thing I think is a real part of this team to look at is where is Hargreaves lining up? Where the heck's he lining up?
Well, is he going to be playing? You know, and how is he lining up? It'll be interesting. Look, there's a lot of love flowing Cutter again today from MJ for MJ Stewart.
Absolutely.
He talked about the interception that he got today and I thought it was funny. Cutter's like, well, you know, some guys get interceptions and don't really do much. But this was a real interception.
Yeah, yeah.
He broke on the ball and he got a pick. And he praised Carlton Davis for giving the receivers all they could handle. So Cutter seems real bullish on these guys. And Stewart keeps flashing. You know, it could be a lot worse. I don't see Ryan Smith flashing. So
I thought after the draft, if I had to bet, and it's a long way to go, but if I had to bet, I was going to put my money on Carlton Davis to be ahead of Stewart. And right now, Stewart's having a heck of a camp.
So anyway, Stewart, though, it's interesting. I don't know if I mentioned this stat last time, but it's one of my favorites, Ira. His last 29 college games. 29.
Oh, this is going to be good, Lee.
Zero interceptions. That's hard. And it's hard to do that and get drafted in the second round.
It's hard for you not to pick up a tipped ball. You know, to get back to what Cutter's saying, you luck into an interception
right,
once in a while.
Right. It was like when the Bucs used to roll out these defensive ends that would go sackless. When they were here in Tampa, Kyle Moore and George Johnson, it's hard to do, to not run into one. But I'm glad maybe this gives him even extra confidence because obviously the dude wasn't pulling down picks in college, and now he's got one at the NFL level.
He seems to be a fast learner. That's the one thing I'm hearing about Stewart, fast learner.
Fast learner. What I think's neat is we're 1 week from the preseason opener. 1 week, Brent Grimes didn't practice again. Something's going on there. Probably minor, but I would guess right now that I doubt that he's out there next week. That's just my feeling. And that's going to give a ton of reps to these young guys, and maybe things will emerge a little faster.
I got a little Grimes story for you. I think you've seen this, Ira. And I don't recall ever seeing, and I'm not, you've seen a lot more than I have. So I defer to you, Ira. But even though Grimes has been held out of practice, the last couple practices he's been held out, I think it's so cool that even though he could be in the building or he could be on the sidelines, he's on the field. But it looks like he's playing center field. He's doing mental reps. It's almost like, you know, he wants to, as much as possible, be involved, even though he's not involved. And I don't ever recall seeing a defensive back doing that.
You know, I think that's a great point by you, Lee. Grimes, as we've gotten to know him Steve, you know, he came with a reputation mostly about Miko and what happened in Miami. It wasn't great. We didn't know what the Bucks were getting. His professionalism, Lee, really shines through. He wants to win bad. He likes this organization. He wouldn't have re-signed if he had a problem with the Bucks. He would not have. He had other suitors, Steve. He would have had choices here. His professionalism, Lee, really sticks out to me. It really does. And, you know, hey, he even showed up at the bar unannounced on draft night. That you know.
And Miko.
And did a heck of a job with, what's that game again where you're throwing that stuff?
Cornhole?
I never played that in Brooklyn. You call somebody a cornhole, you better duck in Brooklyn.
You played stickball, right?
Plenty of stickball, yeah. My friend. Anyway, I just like
in Brooklyn, Ira used to get the nickel pickles, and they'd throw them to go through the sewer grates. Toss the pickle.
You know, we used to play a game with bottle caps. I'm serious.
My dad used to.
You know, we didn't have any money. You know, I think we used to melt things into the bottle caps so they didn't when you pushed them across the gutter, they didn't flop over. And these are the kind of things that we did. We were very industrious.
Well, my dad grew up in a depression, and he said they used bottle caps for baseballs. Kids, a form of stickball.
And, of course, we had something called a Spalding, Steve.
Yep. Yeah, the little ball.
Nobody in Florida knows
the little
that
ball,
means.
Yeah.
Little
yeah,
rubber ball.
Yeah.
Isn't it cork?
No, a little rubber ball, baby.
Yeah, like a super ball.
A stickball thing, yes. It's a stickball thing. A funny little story on that front, real short one. My brother, who lives way up in the mountains in upstate New York, he takes his dog out to run in certain areas, and because the dog is very aggressive with people and other dogs. But anyway, so he makes sure there's nobody around, and the dog uncovered this garbage, like a pile of garbage. Dog wasn't coming back. It was a pile of garbage. Well, it turned out it was dumped. This is just a couple of weeks ago. The garbage was dumped probably in the very early 1970s. Somebody dumped a ton of garbage there.
And in a desolate area?
In a desolate area. And it turned, my brother said, find the dog. He's like, there's all these beer cans from like the early 70s and other stuff. And, he's like, I'm looking at expiration.
It's like a time capsule.
Yeah, it was like a time capsule of garbage. He's like, you know, there's all the old flip tops and cans of Tab. And it was like.
And he used condoms in there, Rusty? Anyway, was there a Spalding? I thought there was going to be a Spalding in that story.
Oh, you got me off track. Right, disgusting, this podcast.
Disgusting.
All right, Sage.
Get us back in the wholesome area.
Let me get you back on track here, Sage. Here we go. Dirk Cutter, Mike Smith, both of them at practice today. They went out of their way, and I'm going to read you this quote because it sort of illustrates it. But simply stated, they went out of their way to say that no starting job, none on this team, is set or safe or determined. And that was pretty pretty bold. And I want to tell you exactly how this went down from Cutter. And everybody can watch the video if they want to on Buccaneers.com. But Cutter was asked something about offensive line rotation. And he responded, he was kind of finished with the media at that point. And he said, everything's on the table. And then he stopped. He looked toward where the next question that be. He paused. And then he went back to the guy and said, at every position. That's how he said it. And then Mike Smith said the same thing. You know, in past years, we haven't heard that from Cutter and Smith, who has called Gerald McCoy the best player on the team. You think it's a new mindset or just semantics, or what do you think?
That's classic coach speak, mm-hmm. Lee. Are you telling me Donovan Smith's worried? Ali Marpet is worried about his left guard spot. Ryan Jensen's worried about center. McCoy's worried about D tackle. Lavonte David's fighting for his life.
Mike Evans. Come on.
Come on. Brent Grimes, Quan Alexander. We go on and on and on. Much ado about nothing, Lee.
I agree.
Now there's certain areas that are wide open.
There's a corner opposite Grimes, right guard. Yep.
There's a competition.
Corner opposite of Grimes.
No question about it.
Strong side linebacker.
You know that. Yes. The D line. How's it shaking out? Other than McCoy is going to be usually on the right defensive.
JPP's going to start.
JPP's going to start. But we got to see where Bo Allen and Vea fit in and. What's Will Golston's role at this point? Steve, much ado about nothing. But I think that's the message that the coaches want to send to players is don't take anything for granted.
Well, here's one for you. I just thought of this about not taking things for granted. Will Golson, by all accounts, is having a horrible training camp, coming off a terrible season.
I haven't heard his name mentioned very often.
The only time I've heard his name mentioned is him getting chewed out by coaches.
You're not reading the practice notes, Ira. Shame on you.
I hope this is not all a reflection on after he got that contract.
Well, he's got that guaranteed contract, and it's guaranteed through this season. If everything's on the table, as the coaches claim, would the Bucks be willing to eat that money and say bye-bye?
He doesn't seem like a guy that's getting better. He's not getting better. He's gone backwards a little bit. Two years ago, he was pretty good.
Well, I had heard through the grapevine that him and Jay Hayes butted heads. Okay, if that's true...
So now he's got a fresh start with Buckner.
Thank you. So he better be improving. If he doesn't improve, it's like, well, Jay.
Now you're the problem.
Yeah, you can't use Jay Hayes as a scapegoat anymore.
It's an interesting scenario. If everybody stays healthy on the defensive line, and let's say Vea comes back in 2 weeks, an update on Vea would be he was walking on the boot today.
There you go.
Versus the scooter.
But you also said he probably broke the scooter being 300 and some
pounds.
Yeah,
I joked about that. Yeah, he might have broken the scooter. But if everybody does stay healthy, Golston becomes and he continues to struggle a little bit or just look like a backup, he does become a possible trade candidate as the rosters come down, because it's the kind of thing where Jason Light would have a little leverage. He can say, hey, you know what, Mr. GM, we're so damn deep at defensive line this year, and Golston.
But he can help you.
But
yeah,
he can help you, he needs to play more. He's not a backup kind of guy, and go look at his film from a couple years ago. He's dominant against the run, and we like him. Good kid. You know, he could probably sell that and get a pick.
But don't get Buck fans excited that they're going to get a second-round pick for Will Golston.
No. But, you know, maybe he's a guy you get a fourth or a fifth-round pick for if, you know, you find
that's a fair point,
you
Steve.
Find a team that, you know,
they're thin. Yeah, they're thin. They had injuries. Thin.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this is just what Steve's bringing up. This is why I would not be shocked to see a wide receiver traded come September. You know, if there's some team that's supposed to be contending, I almost said San Diego. Los Angeles Chargers come to mind. Do they have yet another injury? I mean, they have rash injuries with their receivers and tight ends. They have another injury, and they're expected to be contending for a division? That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, the two guys that aren't going anywhere are Evans and Godwin.
Correct.
They're not going anywhere.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with that. Speaking of not going anywhere, Steve.
But for that to happen, this Watson kid has to show something in the preseason.
Do you realize that at our next podcast after this, we will be able to reflect back on the stick carrier takeover? It's a beautiful thing.
All right, Sage, a few more things as we head toward the home stretch of this dynamic podcast. First, everyone can subscribe and listen on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Leave a review. If you made it this far, you like the podcast, so you can hit a 4-star, 5-star review. Leave a little message to Sage.
That gives us a little more juice, to keep going.
A little more juice. We're happy to read them, and we'll read the next one. Anything that comes in before next podcast, we'll read it on the air, good or bad. How about that, Ira? We'll make a little promise.
I like that.
We might have to clean up the language with some of these haters, but we'll do it anyway. I still think there's an emphasis that Cutter and Smith are putting out there versus what they've said in past years. No job is safe, and Cutter might make an example. I think they might be setting up making an example out of a guy or two here. And frankly, I hope Cutter is open to playing anybody, because if Chris Godwin, like everybody around one buck says this guy's a number one receiver in the making, he's going to be a number one. Well, get him on the damn field if he's that good. I really hope that they do push the envelope on some of these guys. But anyway, let me get
to
this.
You think Dotson could be a guy that could be endangered? Steve, is that possible?
Well, you got to be healthy and ready to go. I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
Who knows?
Probably
who knows? Not. I thought it was hilarious, Ira, and it goes back to the Buccaneers circus, that Cutter today talked about how Ali Marpet is helping Ryan Jensen with his line calls and figuring out the offense.
Ryan Jensen played center all last year. What do you mean he's helping him?
Cutter's,
you mean with the Buck terminology?
Yeah, with the terminology, and that Marpet isn't used to not making the calls, and he's helping out, and they're all getting adjusted with their chemistry. It's like you keep moving Marpet, and now you're talking about chemistry. I just, it's funny.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, I wanted to ask you about this, though. Mike Smith, you were right in his grill today, and he was talking about finishing practice, that the team needs to do a better job finishing practice, and that means finishing games, because I asked him about the toughness of the team, and is that showing up in physicality? And he sort of said, well, not everything I want. You know, the Bucks offense has been better in the second half of these practices. Mike Smith saying the defense isn't finishing. You know, what's going to fix that?
I think, Lee, that's a shot at the focus. I think it's more of mental than physical. Keep your concentration. Finish. Yeah, they get off to good starts in practice. And sometimes they get off to good starts in game. Sometimes. Not often on the road.
Not very often.
We talked about Arizona and Minneapolis.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and Buck fans of New Orleans. But maintain your focus. You got to have that killer instinct. You know, they didn't get it done in the fourth quarter many times last year, especially down the stretch.
Yes.
Especially down the stretch when I believe they had lost five in a row until that last game against New Orleans.
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was a five-game losing streak. And those games were close.
Mm-hmm.
Those games were close.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, the Arizona-Minnesota debacles.
Lost Green Bay in overtime. And
Atlanta.
Atlanta, they lost a close one. Obviously, Carolina was the Swaggy Baker game.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Thanks to Jameis, they beat New Orleans on the last play of the game. So, they're all close.
I guess he detects a little drop-off, Steve. And I think it's a drop-off in intensity and focus. And you know what? I don't blame Mike Smith because it all starts in training camp. And you build that kind of mentality. That's what he's trying to do.
Well, have we not come full circle? I mean, Mike Smith was one of the first things we talked about. And, you know, his defense has to get the job done this year because there's nowhere else for Mike Smith to hide.
Nowhere else.
All right, Ira, before we get to the last call take on this podcast, I want to remind everybody again, training camp takeover Saturday. Get out there. Everybody gets a fanretreat.com. Bourbon Street takeover opening day is around the corner. The trip is going to be fantastic. All the details on the night before hotel and all the details on the hotel, all the details on the night before party, everything is there. You can get your tickets. Lee, you wanted to throw something in on
that? Well, I just want to caution people that are coming up for Stick Carrier Day Saturday at practice. If you want to go inside for the last, 45 minutes of practice, make sure you get there early because they're only going to let X amount of people in because of fire code. And if you don't get under the rope, so to speak, that's it. They can't make any exceptions.
Yeah, you'll be looking through the windows and you won't see too much.
In the broiling heat.
Exactly. So, and it's supposed to be a sunny day on Saturday. I'm not playing weatherman here, Ira. But when they walk around with those signs that say,
start proceeding.
Proceed
right.
Now to the indoor facility for a seat. Get moving because there's only about 3,000 seats in there if they push everybody together. And there might be 5,000 fans. So even if you have a ticket, that doesn't guarantee. It just gets you into camp. Doesn't mean you're going to get a seat in the indoor facility, and you know that'll be fun. The end of practice like that. Last thing, Sage, and of course we thank Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Their locations. Let me quiz you, Ira. Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on
Fletcher.
Beautiful.
Next, Causeway Boulevard.
Causeway Boulevard, Edmore's Cadillac.
There you go, Steven.
Edmore's Cadillac, Brandon, right there, Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to right at all the interchanges.
I just passed that test over there at the campus.
This reminds me of a game show. I like to go on YouTube and go down the rabbit hole. And I saw a video a week or two ago of a game show. I think it was To Tell You the Truth or whatever, where you had to guess who was speaking, and you only had so many questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the guest in question was, and where was this taped, in the 50s and the 60s? A guy that witnessed Abraham Lincoln's assassination.
Oh!
The guy was old as the hills.
Wow, he's got to be old as the hills.
Well, that was wild. He witnessed Lincoln's assassination.
Ira used to date Brett Summers for Match Game, didn't you?
That's a cheap shot over there.
Let's go home now, right?
Oh, is that cheap? How are you going to top that?
All right, last one. Dirk Cutter, a couple of times, Sage. He has been adamant saying that, and he said it again today, the defense dictates who we throw the ball to. That's his stock answer now for, hey, you got a million weapons and Brayton and Howard and this guy and that guy and everything. And so he's pushing it all on the defense decides, not me. And he quipped, not quipped, but really at the end of the news conference, he said, answering this type of question, oh, you know, you don't go out there with the quarterback. I think it was about DeSean Jackson. You don't go out there deciding who to throw to and making up your mind saying, I'm going to target this guy. You don't do that as the quarterback. And my first thought was, Mr. Cutter, go back to the last game last year when your quarterback, Mr. Winston, said, oh, you know, well, I, I was looking for Mike Evans all game. I wanted to get him that record, and I know I forced it to him, and I threw a few picks. And, yeah, that's Jameis' last time on the field, so I thought that was kind of funny.
And also, let's not forget that he audibled the last play and said, "I'm going to the young man, Mr. Godwin," and disregarded the play that Cutter, you know,
ignored a wide open Humphreys.
Ignored it, Steve. You know what you reminded me of when Cutter said, "You know, the defense dictates a lot of times."
Which is not inaccurate.
It's not inaccurate, but it's in stark contrast. And I don't know which I don't know which guy is more accurate, but it's in stark contrast to. Another Brooklyn alumnus like I was,
Joe Paterno?
Erasmus High School, Al Davis, who used to say, when he used to have the mad bomber, Daryl LaMonica,
yeah.
He used to say, he was famous for this, "We take what we want." That's what he used to say. And that was the mindset. That was Al Davis's, you know, he loved the long pass.
Yes, he did.
Warren Wells, Cliff Branch.
Yeah.
Speed was all about
speaking
speed.
Of Cliff Branch, does anybody ever talk about him getting in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, there's a little talk about Branch. I mean, he was a heck of a player.
Or as Al Davis would call him, Clifford Branch.
I got a story about Branch that I'm going to use on the next podcast.
Oh.
Write it down, Isbits.
Cliff Branch story.
I got a Cliff Branch story back from my UPI days. You guys are going to love it.
Oh, you got an Al Davis story too, don't you?
I do have an Al Davis story.
And on the next podcast, because it didn't make the cut on this one with our timetables here in our room, we are going to get into some of the controversy swirled up by the Tampa Bay Times column and the fan reaction. And a little bit of an intelligent take there we'll throw at
you
the good people.
You don't miss a thing, Isbits.
All right, stick carrier takeover day, training camp takeover day.
See you guys out there Saturday.